Hello and welcome to the special edited version of the Beer Prime second birthday special featuring Duration Brewing. Okay, so I admit it, the second birthday special episode was a bit long. It clocks in at just under 3 hours. I stand by the content, great chats with Andy Parker from Elusive and Miranda and Bates from Duration, plus 3 chunks of Q&As from previous guests. Even though there are plenty of ideal places to pause and come back to it later, a nearly 3 hour runtime certainly could put people off. So I decided to put together 2 edited versions with just the main brewery guests on each one. This one features Duration Brewing. I chatted with Miranda and Bates from Duration Brewing all about their exciting plans after their recent successful crowdfunding campaign and much more. We also made the draw for the great prize that they had been kind enough to offer for you listeners out there. So here they are, Miranda and Bates from Duration.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing well on this hottest day in history of the UK. Doing well to cool myself down with a lovely can of Turtles All the Way Down.
Oh, well, I'm going to join you then with a little fanfare.
Excellent. And Bates, what are you on?
Sun on my shoulders. New beer from us with YCH Hops.
Yakima Chief Hops, who are like Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Hop merchants, yeah.
Excellent. And what hops are in that one?
Dry hop is a new one, which is HBC 586, and then a little bit of Citra Cryo and Citra or Mosaic Cryo, just a little bit of both of those.
And Citra Cryo. Yeah, and then we put some quite classic late hops in, like Cascade and Centennial. But the HBC 586 is a new and experimental hop that's supposed to give quite a lot of like peachy
melon and berry. Salad bowl of fruit.
And when it was packing, oh my God, it smelled like a peach cobbler going on in the brewery.
Wow.
Cheers.
Yes, cheers, cheers. I love the smells that are, you know, when I visit breweries, I love those smells.
I like the way it feels roasty and warm. You know, like when the mash is finished, it just feels like you're inside a big loaf of bread.
We spoke last in December. You were my guest for the Christmas special. Yeah. But a lot has been going on with you guys since then. Let's get straight on to the main thing. You went through some crowdfunding. Talk us through how that went.
I mean, I was really scared. Because, you know, it's sort of unprecedented times all round, isn't it? And I just had no idea. And the level of support that came out for it, I found really heartwarming and overwhelming and just very generous. And especially with our local customers, you know, and people that actually come and visit the taproom regularly, they were just like, we love everything you're doing. There's no way we don't want to support you. Even down to my rugby team, like all of the girls on that were like, oh, I've put in a tenner, I put in 50 quid. And then, you know, people that we've never met before, we had no idea who they were, that were putting in, you know, very large sums. So it was amazing and great and lovely. And like, we had a small shareholding before that, and they were like, won't it be a lot more work having lots and lots of smaller shareholders? And I was like, in a way it'd be really nice, because then you've got lots of advocates and kind of very loyal fans that hopefully will hang about in the web shop and come along to your events. So I think it's really about growing the community around our business that we want. So I think it benefits us in both ways. Like, obviously it enables us to do some of the growth plans that we want to do, but it also, you know, makes us feel like there's a gang around us and people supporting us.
Yeah, excellent. It's different from a lot of crowdfunding that's happened with other breweries. Some of them, the model they've used is contribute some money and you'll get some rewards. But there's no kind of actual shares on offer. But as you were saying about, you know, with the shareholding, you know, people are actually investing their money and actually are shareholders of Duration Brewing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what's so nice is when people come visit and they're like, well done on the crowdfund, I put a bid in. Like, well, welcome to your brewery. You know, like, they are part owners, and Bates and I are owners as well. And it's a tangible thing. I don't think it's quite, not, it's not quite right, but other things are more fundraisers.
I see what you mean. It's probably a different word for it, isn't it? The other thing, but
well, no, I think they are called crowdfunds. Just ours was an equity crowdfund, but I feel like the other one is more like a sponsor us or donate or just help us get where we want to get, which is valid in itself.
Yeah,
but there's no potential return other than the immediate reward that's offered with it. But also from a company perspective, if you do that and say you offer like spend £10, get £20 in the bar, it's kind of like a loan, really, isn't it? You're just getting some money, but you're having to do something for it, and then you're giving something back. So it's quite a simple transaction, I guess, which some people might like. But I wanted people that join us to sort of have a loyalty, which means they're with us. And if we do well, they do well. So
yeah,
our promise was more for like a dividend than a big buyout with an exit where you make your money. It was more like put your money in. And, you know, if we do well, there'll be dividends and we'll all get some.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I contributed as well. I invested, sorry. Invested is the word, sorry. Yes. And I very much liked it that it was that I would be getting some shares. I mean, you know, I'm not deluding myself in any way, shape or form that I'm anywhere near any kind of majority shareholding. I know that my amount is just a handful.
But this is the thing. I mean, every amount is relevant. Like, a lot of people always sort of go all humble and go, well, mine wasn't very much. But the whole point of it is that we had 620 odd people come in, and collectively, that's a huge amount of money. You know, I think we got 440,000 or something like that. It actually just paid into our bank account yesterday. So it's like, woohoo, it's all finished. Yeah, fantastic. There's a lot of legal paperwork and getting everything, you know, agreed. And I think the point is, whatever amount you've put in, you are part of the crowd, and that crowd collectively is doing amazing things to help business. So that support is felt. And it really, I don't think people need to feel like, oh, I'm so sorry, I only put in a little bit. It's all amazing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've done that with a couple of other breweries, the other type that we were talking, where you give a certain amount and you're getting either a box of beers for it or a t-shirt or a tour or something like that. So I've done that in a couple of other breweries and been perfectly happy for that. But with your one, I saw your vision for what you were going to do with that, and the fact that, you know, that we would have shares in that. And I just love that idea. So let's go to talk about that vision. And you mentioned about how much you got, 440,000, which is incredible. Your target was 350,000. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you reached that with 10 days to go, which was amazing. And then you were onto your stretch goals. So what were you going to do with that first 350?
So our brew house is quite substantial. We really don't think we're going to need a bigger brew house. So every year we've got planned cellar expansion. So as our sales grow, we can put in more fermentation vessels and tanks into the cellar. We want to expand the brew house, not just with fermentation tanks, but maybe like upgrade the laboratory a little bit, put somewhere to put the grain store in a bit more evenly. Yeah, there's a few little tweaks that we could do to our canning line. So yeah, expand the brewery in a way where we've been working in it for a couple of years, and we know that there's a few things we can do to streamline everything. We also would like to add to our sustainability, and we see that in two ways. One is planting a fruit orchard and adding rainwater recapture onto the roof so that we can use less water overall. We're quite into how we process at the brewery to be quite circular in the waste management. So the fruit orchard and the rainwater on the roofs will both give us biodiversity right around the brewery, help the bats, the birds, the bees, maybe have enough fruit to go into beers someday. And the rainwater will help us just use less on the water side. But the other way we see being sustainable is making sure our team are looked after and really growing that side of the business well. So we'd like to bring in some of our core team into the shareholding as well and offer like a reward and retain system, like a staff equity scheme. We are very remote. So if people choose to want to come and up sticks and move to come work with us, or they're locally recruited and they want to stick with us, then we think that needs rewarding. So, yeah. You know, make sure your team that you've spent time and energy training into the way we do things here really believe in us and feel part of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously the big bit that we kind of plugged around everywhere is put a tap room in. So we've got a tap room in our barrel store at the moment. It's lovely. It's actually got a really nice atmosphere at the moment, but it's just a little bit too small. So we'd love to put like a dedicated tap room with a kitchen, you know, still keep it very informal and very, so you can congregate and meet people. And we're very family focused, sort of, you can bring your dogs in, like it's all very relaxed where we are. But yeah, a dedicated space. And we never really knew whether people would come all the way out here. But actually locally, it's really been took up on. And when people can travel, they've been traveling out to see us. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's the capacity going to be like in the new tap room?
So it will probably be about 90 covers. So yeah, okay. 90 people.
Inside, but then good weather during the summer up here. Obviously, we have outdoor seating. So
yeah, and we're doing it right, like putting in a nice, decent-sized kitchen and putting in a nice cold store to do direct draw for the beers. So that will take up a little bit of the footprint, but we've got this sort of third end of our stone barn. So the brewery's on the left, and then on the right, there's maybe an 8 meter by 12, 15 meter sort of rectangle. And we can put two levels in there. So okay. It should be a really nice, I'm imagining it like the bar downstairs, maybe some merch and the loos and the kitchen and the cellar, and then a bit more standing room or perches, and just, you know, the bar and space downstairs, and then upstairs, you know, more of the sit down kind of space. And obviously if people have got push chairs or they're in a wheelchair or something, we'll make sure that there's nice places for everyone to be. But yeah, I imagine people going upstairs to have the views into the brewery and out to the landscape.
Yeah, and that's going to be amazing. I've seen the pictures of how you want it to look. In particularly, there was actually on the beer that you had, your crowdfunding beer for the duration, there was the design of how you want your taproom to be. Glass frontage. It looks like it's going to be incredible.
It is. It's so exciting. We've been sort of having meetings with our landlord and beginning to reopen those conversations with the planners. So I think there's going to be quite a lot in the design now before we can actually begin building. So the timeline could be a little ways off, but we've got to get it right. You know, with a historic building, there's lots of stakeholders like Historic England and, you know, architecturally and historically, heritage wise, everyone's got to sign off on it. So all of the detailing has to be done. But yeah, the whole idea of the glass is that that end of the stone barn is falling down anyway. Rabbits have kind of got underneath the building, and there's buttressed, so there's no actual foundations. And so there's this whole edge. It's like a big slice of bread, loaf of bread coming off.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So we're going to fell that gently, and it's being held up by steels at the moment, and then build it back with 2 feet of stone when it's beautiful outside. Why not put glass there and get some light in the building?
Yeah, very true. You mentioned having a decent-sized kitchen. So are you looking to have a varied menu, or will you concentrate on a certain type of food?
We haven't fully explored it. Bates, have you got anything to say here?
No, I mean, I think if we end up taking it in-house and not having it as like a incubator kitchen for food traders that just come in weekly or monthly or whatever, probably keep it like seasonal and local.
There's some great seafood up here as well.
Yeah, changes the season goes on sort of thing.
But we have made some really nice relationships with some amazing local food traders. Actually, in the depths of lockdown, we were allowed to be an essential shop and they were allowed to do takeaway. So, you know, we haven't really explored the whole offer of the kitchen, just because Norfolk's great for food and there's so much around that it's almost like that will just be the icing on the cake when we get to it. But what I can say is it will be stuff that goes deliciously with beer. And I don't think Bates and myself want anything too formal. So it will just be convivial, easy, you know, something that you can all sit down together and just go at.
Yeah, nice food for eating with beer. So,
yeah, and just family style. You know, I don't think it's going to be anything overtly formal, but no. Delicious and well put together. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. The last time we spoke in December, since then, I've read that you've installed a centrifuge. Tell me a little bit about what that does.
It's basically, if you've got a salad spinner at home, it's similar to that. It's just using centrifugal force. It just allows us to move the beer from the primary fermentation to our packaging tank, spin out, get the yeast counts we want, make sure that we don't have hop sediment. And it allows us to do that at a faster rate, because up until now, we would have to rely on time, temperature, and pressure. So you're letting putting top
gravity,
pressure.
Yeah, drop.
The top beer pressure, clear. Dropping it at zero, and then having to drop hops mm-hmm. and yeast out every day, whereas that might take 7-8 days after primary fermentation and dry hopping's done. We can move it more to like 2 days because we have the ability to spin it out. We squeeze a little bit more beer out of it that way as well, because we're not dropping hops and yeast every day. So
it's saving us time on the process, but it's also giving us a better yield.
And it just makes for a better quality beer that we know is much more shelf stable, because we can get yeast counts we want. You know, there's no hop particulate. We can get the clarity and brightness, because you can change how you discharge or how fast you're spinning it or how fast you're coming in and going out. So say something like that, which you can't see, but as compared to that, you know, that can
he's held up his beer in my beer. Is that a hoppy IPA versus a Belgian yeast saison?
Yeah.
So it's just better overall, a slight bit more work on the short term for the day, because it might take you a couple of hours or something, whereas you might drop hops for an hour or something off each tank or whatnot. But, you know, in the long run, it's one person that's sitting there setting up centrifuge, and once it's running. They can be doing other jobs and they're not manually dropping hops and doing all that sort of stuff.
A lot of our breweries actually been designed with the brewer's day in mind. So our equipment is semi-automated. There's a lot as a brewer that you have to do that's very physical, and that's unavoidable. You've got to open your grain bags and pour them in. But, you know, you're always moving around with pumps and things. But we try to make it as not backbreaking as possible. So, yeah, we've designed the brew house in a way that's very systematic. So it flows around in a nice system, but also
things. As we grow, we'll add more as well, like another vessel, grain handling. Eventually, I would like to have like a keg vacuum arm, so nobody's actually loading kegs.
Oh, yeah, you did a lot of kegs.
Picking it up off of that, setting it down, filling the next one, picking up, setting it down.
But if you can look at the processes, because ultimately you're a factory, aren't you? And you're doing the same task repeatedly, and you can make it easier for the operative doing it, then why wouldn't you? Because then your operative can be concentrating on delicious recipes.
Yeah. Excellent. So that's the next thing on the wish list then.
Bates. What, like the big Adnams keg filler? Have you seen that?
It's not quite at that level, but they do have keg handling systems that are like vacuum, that you just drop it, lock it, and then you can move it onto the pallet and maybe the next one sort of thing. Yeah, I just don't want the future generation of brewers to end up with a back like mine sort of thing.
Learn from experience.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. We mentioned earlier the beer for the duration that you had as your sort of crowdfunding. You probably didn't call it this yourself, but more of a kind of like a sales pitch in a can.
Yeah, it was like the official beer of the crowdfund.
Yeah, and I actually thought it was the perfect beer for the purposes of what you were doing, because it was an accessible ABV. You know, just 4.5%. So it wasn't going to alienate people that didn't want to drink high ABV beers. And the use of your house yeast gave the beer a very much a what I call, and I'm sure this isn't the word, durationness.
Oh, I love it that you say that. I love that.
It did, because there are some breweries that you drink a beer and you don't have to look at the can to see who produced that beer. I think Burning Sky, another. And I think a lot of your beers, particularly for the duration,
it has
that character to it that your beers have. It's just easily identifiable. And I think when you have got to that level where people can pick up a glass, take a sip and say, yep, that's a duration beer, then you know, you're there, aren't you?
We're there, or you're drinking too much.
Well, there is an argument for that as well.
No. I love it that you say that, Paul. That's so nice. We recently did a big road trip as part of that beer launch and the whole talking about the crowdfund. And, you know, you're not the only one to have said that to us. And there's something about a duration beer, and people describe it as quite clean, quite balanced, but like a little bit of piquant to it. And there's a little something behind it. We do use yeast probably more than we advertise on the can to define our beers. Obviously, we do a lot with hops as well. Yeah, it's just really nice to hear you say that you can taste.
you can. No, you definitely can. We should also talk about when that's kind of going to come about.
Mm-hmm. So we have already started the design process. It's basically to minimize impact on production. We tend to do all of our expansions and building stuff kind of in January, February. So if we can, we'd love to start by then. But builders are quite hard to come by at the moment. And it's probably going to be quite drawn out getting the details. So if it's not this spring, it will be the following spring. So we're really, really hoping that by the summer of 24, we can have a big launch party. But actually, to build the Stone Barn taproom, we're probably going to see if we can get planning through to put a couple of other smaller farm buildings on our site so that we can sort of sidestep. Like, there's a lot of pallet racking and everything in the main brew house, and we want to build the taproom up to where operations are and then take away the wall so that we're not making a mess everywhere and we can't brew. So we feel like to move all of that storage into a secondary barn would be helpful, so that we could do the work and then it all comes together seamlessly. So there's actually a sort of other building that we're planning to build. Hopefully the fruit trees will go in, you know, in spring. Yeah, so I'd say delivery over the whole project. We've started and we're working, chipping away at it, but the whole delivery probably will take 2 years.
Right. Okay, so something for us all to look forward to then.
Yeah. But it might mean we get two launches, because we might get a launch in the new building when the tap room might expand or move over to there. Then we'll build the big one and then be there. So
right. Okay.
Double
two
wobble.
Two launches. So you can't complain with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Aside from all of the work that you're going to be putting in on the future of the tap room and the rest of your improvements, what else have you got in the future planned?
I mean, lots of delicious beers.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Anything you can discuss at the moment, or is it all secret?
I've got a few collabs coming up with some sort of special beers.
We've got one.
Some time off.
What have you got planned?
High up on the
that calendar. Is high up, because we really haven't had a break. Like,
no, I bet.
It's been all go. Who thought opening into 2020 would be a good idea?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited about, we've just done, it's a collaboration, but it's a dual release with a brewery over in the States called Forrester Main.
Oh, yeah.
So we've picked a lightly hopped, lightly dry hopped Saison, and we've called it a Shared Sky because
they're in Pennsylvania, so they're Northern Hemisphere, just kind of directly across.
Yeah, so we can. And then we've picked the Gristmill. We've both used grains very local to us. And it's our interpretation on the same sort of base recipe, but they're going to use their riff on it and put their own interpretation into it. And we're going to do the same. So we've picked all American hops, whereas they're putting all English hops in as a sort of tribute to each other. Yeah. And it will be released in both parts of the world.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. That sounds great. I love it that when I talk to breweries, so many, if we're talking about what's coming up, so many times it's all about collaborations.
Yeah.
They are plentiful, but I never tire of breweries getting together and collaborating because it's just so pure. It's so amazing. Yeah. You know, I've spoken about it on the podcast so many times, so it just wouldn't happen in any other industry.
No, I think it's one of the beautiful things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even in beer, you know, Carlsberg and Heineken are not going to call each other anytime soon and get together and make a beer. I mean, that would be horrible right there anyway. But, you know, it's just beautiful that happens in the craft beer world. And I'll never tire of it. It's never going to be something that you think, well, you know, collaborations, I'm over that. I would never get over it because there's always, there's so many permutations
of things you can do. Bring to the party, like imagine if you put this brewery and this brewery together, what would you get? It's like perfect duets or like totally.
Yeah, I mean, we've still got a fully spawned beer that we did with Burning Sky that
Firm
might
friends.
Not see the light of day another year and a half or so, but.
And we were so chuffed
tasting good
that they wanted to do a mixed firm beer with us. Yeah. But yeah, we've also sort of started branching out and looking at collabs that we can do just with other companies that we admire that aren't necessarily brewers. So there's a dear friend of Bates and mine who we've known for years, and she set up her own black run female floristry, and she makes beautiful bouquets and like does installations and has got quite into the corporate world as well. And she's sort of really disrupting the scene and like telling Covent Garden Flower Market what for and how they need to sort of wake up to the modern age. And she makes amazing floral displays, but I just really admire her for being, you know, a big pair of balls in an industry that needs shaking up, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're doing a beer together with her. She's got some Jamaican heritage in her. Yeah, we were looking at maybe something with maybe oyster style. Yeah,
oyster flour. Ooh. Oysters from here.
And and then there's a really beautiful clothing company up here that's a very loved Norfolk brand, and they just make beautiful garments, you know, like a lot of wax sort of oiled.
It's all handmade and it's all made here.
Yeah, and like
family run.
So we were talking with them and we want to do a collaboration together, and maybe we could team up to do some merch that goes alongside it. But then the other thing I'm quite excited about is, like, we said yes to a lot of festivals, and there's so many brewery led festivals now, aren't there? So we've just been at These Hills with Beak, and we're off to
Fidelity was last week,
and then we did the Little Earth Project's first sour festival or mixed firm festival, you know, and going off, like, there's one at Verdant, and there's just so many. Rivington are doing one that are brewery ran festivals, which I think is just really exciting, because that for us is like the next extension from a collab. It's like, if you were a brewery, who are your friends? Who would you invite? How would you present it? You know, what would it be like? So when we've got the tap room, we'll do one for sure.
Yeah, that'd be great. I so wanted to go to These Hills, but I couldn't make the weekend. It's such a shame because from what I've seen of pictures of people that people shared, it looked amazing.
It was amazing. And it will be amazing next year, so you can come
there. Yeah. Oh, no, next year I'm going to make sure that I don't have anything on that weekend.
we found the site for where we want to have ours, which is amazing. And we'll definitely have like a little transport link between the brewery and the festival, so you can visit and do both.
It's only about a 20-minute walk.
It is a 20-minute walk, but you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we've just begun speaking to the venue and kind of thinking about it. So that makes it really fun when we're at festivals now, because we can take notes and, like, you know, look at it with our eyes on for when we put ours together.
Absolutely. See what they've done right and what they've done wrong as well. So, you know, there's that learning curve for both sides of it, really, isn't
it? And I'd love to bring in a bit of Norfolk, because if people are coming for a visit, I'd love to show them a bit of what happens around here. And like the site we're on, we're opposite a theatre, and there's a gallery around the back, and all different artists do all different kinds of workshops back there. So I'd love to like tie it in with a, you know, expo of all that's good and tasty and nice to see while you're here.
Excellent. Okay, well, look forward to that very much so. Right. Okay. So you were kind enough to offer a prize to celebrate the second birthday of the podcast. Thank you very, very much for that.
Happy birthday. How many episodes have you done?
This would be episode 52.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. So we've had people liking and sharing the post and also following both of us.
Excellent.
So I'm going to see if I can share my screen. Can you see that?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. Okay, so we're going to
spinning wheel.
We've got everybody's name on that spinning wheel, and just have to click here. And okay, let's see whose name comes up. Tim of Newbury.
Tim of Newbury, congrats.
So
Tim.
That's on Twitter.
Tim Thomas.
There you go. Well done, Tim of Newbury, then, for winning.
What's he won?
Well, he's won a six-pack of beer and a tour of the brewery.
The tour and tastings are on the first Saturday of each month at 3:00, and they're always run by myself or Bates. They include a keepsake glass and a tasting through four beers as well.
Fantastic. So not only does him get the six cans, he gets some lovely beers when he's doing the tour as well. And not just some, you know, any old tour guide that doesn't know what they're talking about. They get one of you two.
Yeah.
Doing the tour. Fantastic.
I can't guarantee I know what I'm talking about, but he'll get me.
I'm sure you do. Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you very much for donating that prize. And well done, Tim, for winning that.
Happy birthday. Congrats on reaching 2 years on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much. Right. Okay. So as you know, from when we spoke in December, I like to ask the previous guests to pose a question. So I've got one for you, and it's from one of your near neighbours. It's Andy from Ampersand. On the Norfolk-Suffolk border. Andy from Ampersand asked,
well, the question is, if they could, which beer style would they eradicate from history?
I mean, I would say something different to Bates. I'd probably say like a smoked beer needs to go.
A smoked beer?
Sorry.
Oh, dear. Ooh. I'm partial to a smoked beer.
It's only because I have to eradicate it.
No, you have to eradicate something.
I believe all things should exist, even if I don't like them.
Yeah. 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 Very true. Very true. Bates, how about you?
Probably fruited kettle sours or pastry stouts. Probably lean more towards fruited kettle sours.
Right. Okay.
So you wouldn't put a tipper in the bin?
No, because I understand you could probably make a good version of that, whereas fruited kettle sour just 49% fruit puree. I mean, fuck, anybody can do that. And then kettle sour, you know, single note sort of pony. It's a alcoholic, innocent smoothie.
Okay, fantastic. So fruited kettle sours
and smoked
beers. So smoked fruited kettle sours would be well out, to be honest, wouldn't they? I don't think they exist, actually, so that's all right. So I'm going to come back and ask you to pose a question as well. But before that, I've been going through all of the questions that everybody's been posing for the next guest. And we've had some interesting questions. We've had some quite heavy ones. We've had some bizarre ones. And we've had some quite fun ones. So I thought I would throw a couple out at you guys.
Okay.
We're more of the kind of light, fun end of things. I thought I'll keep it light. A question from Beck from Electric Bear in Bath was quite simple. What's your favourite cheese?
No cheese.
No cheese at all.
I mean, okay. I do eat some cheese. So I would say my favourite cheese is melted cheddar or mozzarella.
Okay.
As in stuff that could go on pizza or lasagna. That's about as cheesy as I
That's can. As cheesy as you get. Right. Okay. Bates, are you a cheese fan?
Yeah, probably any kind of blue. Stelchelton, one of my favourites.
We get sent a massive wheel of Stelchelton. Any, Christmas.
Any cheese, really, I like, but I...
Manchego?
Favour towards the, like, really deep blue cheeses and stuff.
Right.
You can't see my face, but I'm really pulling it.
Yeah, you're not loving that. You wouldn't put that on a pizza, then? You wouldn't melt blue cheese into a pizza?
Yeah.
Gorgonzola on the pizza.
My favourite pizza topping is anchovies, jalapenos, and blue cheese, because it's just like umami.
He made gorgonzola ice cream as well to go on the peach cobbler.
Wow.
When we were doing like food pop-up things.
That sounds interesting. Okay, fantastic. Then James from Hopstop on my first birthday episode said, what's the best snack you can imagine to go with beer?
Talking just bar snack in a bag.
Yeah, any snack that while you're drinking a beer.
I really like wings. Snyder's pretzel pieces. Oh, yeah. Wings are more like
a meal.
I'd go Snyder pretzel pieces, or I love pickled eggs.
Okay.
I think you can't beat crisps.
Yeah.
Beer.
What type of crisps?
Balsamic vinegar.
Ooh. Nice.
Or little nutty bits, like, you know, wasabi peas, or, you know, the Japanese-coated peanuts.
The ones that are crispy and you're crunchy and you've got the peanut inside. Yeah, I like those. Yeah,
a bit too wide of a question because it kind of depends on the beer.
On the beer, yeah.
It's like, I don't want to eat jalapeno Snyder pretzel pieces when I'm having a stout. So,
but with a lager, great.
Yeah, true. Right, so this one is perhaps a little bit more of a kind of thinker than favorite cheese and snacks. Do you think that brewing is more of a science or an art?
I don't think you can have sort of one without the other. You need to learn the science, the backbone, all of the basics, and then you can start making art. Like that saying of like, oh, jazz is just loose. The only reason jazz is loose is because there's such good musicians before they start getting loose. So like most jazz musicians,
there's the discipline,
so much training and so much like either schooling and all of that, that then they're like, all right, I got bones down. Now let's explore and see where I want to take it.
But Alchemist is a really good, I feel like that covers both sides.
Okay.
I'd say Bates is more an artist than a scientist, but he's a scientific
artist, maybe. Excellent. Yeah. I mean, that question was from Johnny at New Barns. That's a little while back, earlier this year.
There you go, though. That's proving, because that's three people between him, Gordon, and Emma that grew up there that know their backbone, that then they can start doing what they want to do.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a question to set to the next guest?
Yeah, if you want one last easy one, more lighthearted, since we had COVID. British walk up to the bar pub service or American table service when you're at the bar?
Right. Yeah.
Now, I've experienced that. You can order there. You have somebody to come to you, get the order.
Yeah.
Evolve a bit more.
You'd have to start tipping, I think.
Yeah.
Because when you have table service, you've got the server coming up to you, sitting you down, running your drink, running your check, running your change, taking the payment. There's a lot of work compared to being at a bar, getting a beer, walking off.
And I know a lot of UK brewers will have been to the States, experienced that, or even European. European is much more kind of a mix of two sort of thing. I think that would be a good one because they'll obviously be running tap rooms and things like that. So what works better? What do you like better?
Yeah. I definitely missed being able to sit at the bar. It's not just going to the bar to get the drink, but actually sitting at the bar as well.
That's my favorite place to sit.
Yeah, I love that. I love going in, pulling up the stool, just sitting at that bar and just, enjoying the drinks and watching everything go on. I just love that.
But also, we're spoiled in craft beer. There's so many people that absolutely love giving good service. So, you know, whether that's the bottle shop that you were talking about where you can order your beers in and collect at the end, or, you know, just having your bartender talk you through the lineup of what's on offer. The interaction that people get when they're purchasing craft beer, I think, is unrivaled in any other industry. I think it's a really good service that we get. And I really commend all of the people that have left other well-paid jobs and whatever to follow their passion and bring this communal kind of way of consuming to their neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Part of what I love about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, it's been wonderful chatting with you again. Thank you so much, Miranda and Bates, for taking the time out of your evening to have a chat with me on the hottest evening.
Hottest day.
I'm sitting here because I've had the window closed because I didn't want any sound to bleed through. And I'm boiling in here. But to be honest,
we'll send you some beers.
To be honest, I'm enjoying this one anyway. So.
Oh, well, look, happy birthday. Well done on reaching two. Thanks for having us back on. And thanks for what you do for making beer an enjoyable place.
No worries. And thank you for producing all the wonderful, amazing beers that you do.
Nice one. Right.
Cheers then.
All right then, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So a great chat there with Miranda and Bates, and I can't wait to see all of their plans come to fruition. They've got a great site up there in Norfolk already, and it's going to get a whole lot better. And congrats once again to Tim Thomas for winning the prize. I hope you enjoyed listening to the edited chat there with Duration. Why not listen to the one with Andy Parker from Elusive as well? Okay, so I'm taking the month off now and having a well-deserved holiday. I'll be back in early September.